Ready? All right. We will now begin the Palm Beach County Transportation Disadvantaged Local Coordinating Board. Would everyone please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
May I have a roll call, please?
Stephen Grant.
Here.
Tomas Boynton is excused. Robert Goodman.
Here.
Sharon Green is excused. Elise DeGoy.
Here.
Marie Dorsman.
Here.
Maria Hernandez.
Here.
David Rafaitis.
Present.
Millery Sinat. Clay Walker.
Here.
Tessie Watts.
Here.
Takesha Saffold. Richard Gonzalez.
Here.
Laura Schultz.
Here.
We have a quorum, Mr. Chair.
Wonderful. All right. May I have a motion to approve the agenda? Do I have a second?
Second.
All right. Do you need me to call out who motioned in second? You got it? All right. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor state so by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Agenda is approved unanimously. Has everyone had a chance to review the minutes? If so, may I have a motion to approve?
Motion.
Do I have a second? Yep. All right. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor state so by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Minutes approved unanimously. Comments from the chair?
Well, my name is Stephen B. Grant. I'm the mayor of Boynton Beach. Thank you so much for having me. I got appointed by the Transportation Planning Agency to be the chairman for this organization. I'm looking to learn a lot about what's going on and so that we can improve on our disadvantaged travelers within the county of Palm Beach County. So I'll be here for a few minutes afterwards if you'd like to have a conversation, get to know me a little bit more. All right. Moving on to general public comments. Please state, do we have comment cards here?
Yep.
Okay. Do I have any comment cards for public, from someone in the public who would like to speak? Seeing none, nobody wishes to come up. We're moving on to action items. We have the 2017-2018 Community Transportation Coordinator Evaluation. Annually, the LCB should review the Community Transportation Coordinator's performance and complete the evaluation workbook. The executive summary is attached. The full CDC evaluation workbook is available on the TPA website.
Hi, everyone. So I'm going to be presenting on the findings from the 2017-2018 CPC evaluation. And again, this is an annual evaluation that the TPA conducts to evaluate PalmTran Connector. So we're going to go. So we're going to go over the findings and the next steps. And the evaluation includes topics such as general questions, covers Florida statutes 427, Rule 41-2, insurance, commission standards, local standards, ADA compliance, on-site observation of the system, surveys, the level of cost, level of competition, and level of coordination. So some of our key findings were that there's a thorough complaint process. Clients are notified when a complaint is received and again when resolved. And clients can contact the CTD if they're not satisfied with the complaint resolution. A recommendation that we have after finding these findings is that a summary of complaints is provided at the LCB meetings in a bar chart format currently. We recommend that a brief written summary of complaints is going to be received as well to those meetings, so that way we get a handful and we see what exactly is being said. Another finding was that the CTC is interested in coordinating with PalmTran and TriRail to transfer rides from paratransit services and increase the ridership of PalmTran public transportation, so the fixed route system. A recommendation was that the CTC should hold a training to encourage better understanding of how eligible riders can transfer between services. Another finding was that paratransit riders are often unsure of how to use the fixed route system after being on the PalmTran connection. so long. We found that CDC offers the fixed route guide currently for ADA-eligible riders, and they're trying to transition TD riders who are capable to do so to use the fixed route system. We recommend that the CTC should develop a video education program to inform riders on how to use the fixed route system, and that a program should be present on social media, the website, can play in the connection waiting room, just so all users have an opportunity to see that media. Regarding Chapter 427.0155 of Florida statutes, we found that school buses are not currently being utilized in the coordinated system due to similar peak times. Charter and private schools often rely on paratransit services to get to and from school. We recommend that PalmTran Connection work with the school district of the county to utilize school buses and develop an agreement with charter schools and public schools to subsidize costs for paratransit services. We also found that the CTC uses something called IVR, which is an interactive voice recognition system, after hours to confirm and cancel trips the night before a trip. This automated system helps the CTC keep track of whether trips for the next day are still on schedule. We recommend that they continue using this system to confirm trips, and that they should somehow figure out a way to utilize this technology to inform the rider 15 minutes out from when their driver will be there so they can be ready. A lot of times the riders need excess time to get outside, and it's not always sunny here, so they don't want to be waiting outside in the rain. Another key finding is that TD service is not available on 7 holidays throughout the year. We recommend that the CTC should consider limited paratransit service on these holidays, and the fixed route does not run on these holidays, so we need to work that out. We also found that there's no arrangement between, there's no arrangement between the Local Wages Coalition and Career Source Palm Beach County, and we recommend that PalmTran Connection works cooperatively with Career Source to provide clients transportation services. For local standards, our key findings were that the CTC is currently meeting the following goals. They are meeting the passenger no-show rate of less than 5%. The average age of the entire fleet is 3 years and 2 months. An at-fault accident goal is less than 1 per 100,000 miles traveled. The call hold time is less than 3 minutes wait time per call. They are currently not meeting the following goals: increasing public transit ridership by 25%, an on-time performance of 90%, and complaint ratio goal of less than 3 complaints per 10,000 trips performed. Our recommendation for this is that the CTC's performance of our Office of Performance Management should continue to evaluate the current measurable goals and develop a strategic plan to achieve the goals that have not been met. And for passenger surveys, which is the last finding section of the evaluation, during the months of March and April, the LCB and TPA staff made 385 random phone call surveys to TD riders in Palm Beach County. We received a total of 95 responses and recorded. The average service rating by the riders was 9.64 points, which was based on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being the least satisfied and 10 being the most. This is an increase of 0.91 from last year's evaluation. Our recommendation is to improve trip optimization, improve and update GPS systems and vehicles, provide a way that clients can know their driver's estimated time of arrival, implement fare boxes so riders aren't required to carry change, and improve transfers. And those last recommendations were all based off of the comments that we received in the surveys that we sent out and got responses from. Our next steps are for the CTC to review and provide updates on the remaining items in our next quarterly meetings, and then this will be submitted to the CTD, which is Commission for Transportation Disadvantage, I'm sorry. And if anyone has any questions, that is the end of this presentation.
Yes, David. And so I asked if you would like to speak. I don't know everyone's name. If you want to tilt your name tag so I can see it, that would definitely help me.
Couple Thank questions. On the first page, when it says a CTC should develop a video education program, how much is that going to cost? I'm looking at what's the cost and also how many people are actually going to view it. Is there been any type of like...
So that was just...
I just don't want to spend money. I'm sorry. I just don't, we're spending money. Who's going to,
So, good afternoon. So my name is Lou Ferry. I work for Palm Tran. I'm the operations manager. Chad Hockman is the senior manager of Palm Tran Connection. Just so I know, I see some new faces, so I'm not sure if everybody knows who everyone is. If I may, through the chair, can I just introduce everybody to make
Absolutely.
Sure? So we're with Palm Tran. So we are the CTC. Actually, the Board of County Commissioners is the CTC, but we are acting CTC through the Board of County Commissioners. And then, of course, the lovely ladies on the end are working for the TPA, so hopefully you all know them. So on this specific question, I actually last week saw that somewhere in, like, Washington, they won an award for a video on how to ride the bus and stuff like that on YouTube, so you can look it up on YouTube. So I was actually doing research on that. We can actually utilize Channel 20, which is the county's public access, I guess you could say. So mm-hmm. we could possibly partner with them to make a video, or we can try and make our own video through our own public relations department or marketing department. And I think our operations director, Sean Smith, is actually looking to try and do that anyway. So we are looking to do something like this for Fixed Route and possibly Connection.
Yeah, what I was getting to was, not only what the cost is, but then in all the brochures that we have to put the link of what this thing is so that it's just not paper, all right? Or, I don't know, it's like you see it one time, it's like, okay, big deal. Yeah, it would look nice, but, it's got to be something we can use all the time. That's number one. So if we go through, Channel 20, that's fine with me. But it seems like, do we put this on YouTube? How do you PR this? I know our PR person's over here somewhere. Melissa, wherever she was, and but how do we position this thing? So that's number one. Number two, I have a couple questions. Okay,
Since we have everybody, if everybody could do two questions, then so we can go through the line, and then if you have more than two, we'll go back to you later after everyone speaks.
Okay. The second one was on the second page, the first box on the right side, it said, if possible, work with the school district to subsidize the costs. I'd like to know what those costs were and how much subsidy is going to take place.
So real quick to serve for housekeeping things as well. So the CTC review is done, and then the TPA takes the review, and they make recommendations. So almost like a wish list, I could say. It doesn't mean that it's almost like a suggestion as to do these things. So this has been a suggestion for 16 years since
I've been here
for 16 years. One of the problems with utilizing the school buses, number one, is they're utilized the same time that we need them. Plus, they can't really get to a lot of the places that we can get to because we go everywhere in Palm Beach County. So logistically, it just doesn't make sense in this county to utilize school buses. However, for the transportation disadvantage in the state, remember, we're talking about all 67 counties, I think. So there's some small counties that utilize school buses because really that's one of their only options. So here, we haven't found a way to fit that in with school buses. However, the school district is the number one purchaser of school for bus passes. So they do utilize the fixed route bus on the other side, on the other way. But paratransit-wise, it's a little bit more difficult. Now, the cost associated with the subsidized cost for paratransit services is just, we brought to this board a few times about the school trips that we do, and it's been a difficult time for us in the last year or two, so to speak, especially with more charter schools. So I guess associated costs would be not only the $350 each way that possibly the student is paying, but also the close to $30 we're paying. How could we subsidize those through either the charter schools or the school district? That's been a little bit of a difficult thing to grasp for us.
And my last question was...
Sorry, David. Answer two, and then we'll come back to you for your last question. Tessie?
I just had a comment regarding the surveys that were done to Palm Tran. When I conducted a few of the surveys, and they were amazing. When it comes to the information that was shared by the riders, I wanted to know, are there any incentives in place when it comes to your drivers? Like, are you all doing something like extra special for them? You know, I'm asking that because it was a resounding message as to how caring and devoted your drivers are to these riders. And that was from the youngest to the oldest. And they spoke, it was just unbelievable. I stayed on the phone with them probably far too long than I should have. And I probably would have got more done if I had ended the conversation. But I just wanted to know, do you all have like an incentive program? Do you get copies of those surveys so you can see the work that your drivers are doing? And is there something that you all have in place for them?
Well, so I'll address this really quickly. And then I'll call up one of our providers, and Rick Gonzalez is our other. We have three providers, MV, First Transit, and Maruti. And they handle the motivation programs. We also have dictated to them some of our expectations for customer service and how we expect our clients to be treated. And so some of that has come out of some of the initiatives that we've done on the customer service front of it, like greeting them and introducing the driver and their names. But if I could, I would like Jeannie to come up and speak about what MV has done, and then maybe we can ask Rick about First Transit. And we do not have a representative from Maruti here, but they all incorporate this a little bit differently, respective to their companies, but overall carrying out the mission of Palm Tran Connection.
I'm Jeannie Chrisman. I'm the general manager of MV Transportation, and I'm glad you asked this question today, because 3 months out of the last 6 months, we have had 30 days without a preventable accident. We raffled off a 55-inch large screen, really nice TV, three times, plus we give $100 gift certificates, plus we give $50 gift certificates, and a luncheon, and even when we're not giving safety awards out, we have luncheons at least 3-4 times a year to thank our drivers for all they do. We have what we call a blitz in the mornings, probably once a month, where we give them drinks and bagels and fruit so we can be healthy as well. So, yeah, and every compliment we get on a driver, they get a certificate. We give those out at monthly safety meetings, and it's a great experience. The drivers all applaud each other and everything. So we're very proud of our drivers, and we recognize them in many ways.
Rick Gonzalez, project manager for First Transit here in Palm Beach County Paratransit Service. We have a Driver of the Month program, and every month we pick a driver based on attendance and accidents and commendations. And part of the prize, they get to have lunch with me. I don't know if that maybe dissuades some of them trying to be Driver of the Month. Also, we have commendation contests, and we have those about biannually, where we just, and we don't tell the drivers that it's a commendation contest, because then, you know, they'll have the same guy call in 10 times with their name. And then so what happens is we say, oh, last month we had a commendation contest, and they kind of, then they go, oh, and then we tell them who had the most commendations, and then they always get a prize. And this June, well, the end of June, we're having our driver appreciation party. It's been we usually try to hold it at the end of the year, but it's just been so crazy. So we're having it in June, and we're going to have raffles, and we're going to have guest speakers and barbecue.
I just want to say it's working. Whatever you're doing, it's working.
Thank you for your comments. We appreciate it.
Marie? Yep. No questions. Laura?
Hi. So I wanted to follow up a little bit on the training video as well as the school district coordination. I was started working last year with Roseanne Boyles and working on a collaborative training that we did. It worked very successfully teaching our ESE staff about travel training. We're trying to support, and part of that included a video that you guys had. We worked on some of that, the presentations with the IGO and did a lot of really good work with our staff who work with our students who were trying to teach to move from connections to fixed route. And so I'm very much, part of why I wanted to be on this board was to work with getting that expanded so we have more options for, at more of our public high schools with fixed route. So that's my goal, or one of my goals. But I really wanted to commend her for our collaboration. I think it was very effective with our staff. Going back to the school buses and the collaboration, I was curious to know more details on kind of what that was looking at, because our buses are very heavily utilized during all the major commuter time, I guess I should say. Related to the charter and private schools, their transportation is very strictly funded through FTE and student allocation rules by state statute. It's not something that the school district says, nope, we're just not going to do it for you. There are very, very clear charter-related rules and how charters set up their transportation, so that's something that would need to be investigated.
We actually have investigated that.
Okay.
And we found... to be candid, can I? Mm-hmm. The charter schools here in Palm Beach County are actually not following it. Okay, so the charter schools have three options. They can actually contract with the school district. Okay,
mm-hmm.
They can actually contract with someone else to provide that transportation, or they can rely on their caregivers of the students, I'll say, rather than parents, mm-hmm. to get them to the school. The problem we've had, which is actually interesting, because I've called around to some of my industry peers. No one else does this, like Broward, Miami, Tampa, even outside the state. No one does charter transportation. They said that's crazy. So I guess here in Palm Beach County, a group of parents decided, you know, I have children with autism or I have children with disabilities that qualify for the ADA or TD, Transportation Disadvantage or the American with Disability Act in Palm Beach County. Why don't we use PalmTran Connection to do it? So the difficult thing for us is... the ADA is a non-funded mandate, meaning we have to do it. So if someone, if I have a 12-year-old autistic child that needs to get to the mall, I'm going to take them there, right? If they need to go to this meeting right here, I'm going to take them. What's the difference between schools? Well, technically, we would have to take them. However, there's this other part of it where really school transportation is not what we're supposed to be doing. So in previous, we can bring it back maybe at the next meeting. We had a nice chart that showed our peak times and how our on-time performance plummets during those peak times and how many school trips are like right at our peak time in the morning and afternoon where it's affecting our on-time performance and we're having capacity issues because of the school trips. It's been difficult.
Yeah, I would think it is. I understand what you're saying. But the charters, anyway, yeah.
The charter schools, we've tried to meet with them, and mm-hmm. we wanted to talk about this issue.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, several of them have said, it's not my problem. The kids have to get here. It's not when the kids get here is my problem. Starts when the kids get here.
Right.
I don't know how they get here.
Is there, and just because it included charter and private schools, or is it a similar thing with some of the private schools?
Yes, not as much. There's a lot of charter school, but there's charter and private schools.
Right.
So,
Okay.
Yeah. But we'll bring that report back so you guys mm-hmm. can see it.
This is a topic that will go way beyond this that we're still going to be working on over the summer. We haven't given up to meet with the schools and discuss their liability for this mm-hmm. because what's happening is it's really providing specialized transportation to these schools and meeting their times and getting their students there, and it's a shared ride system, and we always can't do that
right.
Based upon, you know, multi-loading and sending the vehicle up, you know, from Boca to Jupiter in a matter of, you know, an hour, which doesn't happen if we're multi-loading. It's 3 hours.
Yep.
And so this is a conversation that will be ongoing.
Yep. Thank you. But kudos to Roseanne because she's amazing.
Thank you. Yes. That program was the Train the Trainer program.
Train the Trainer. Yep.
That we actually brought back years back.
Yep. And we're going to be doing it again in August. So.
Thank you.
Robert?
Yeah, I have just a couple of – I'm a paratransit user, and I must say that overall I'm 99.9% happy with the service. And when my seniors at Century Village and Boca complain about it, I say, well, would you rather have nothing? So, you know, I'm glad we have that service besides it being federal law, but, you know, I'm happy we have it. Two comments I have. If we want to get people onto the fixed route system, we need to provide better accommodation for people with visual disabilities. I once asked for a copy of the 91 bus route in large print, and I was given this, if you pretend this is what I was given, on a big 11 by 17 piece of paper, and see all these black lines? They had bus times on them. I couldn't read it. And, you know, enlarging something is not an option. Like, well, I don't want to insult anybody, but like what I was given today. You have to really reformat something in 18-point type, Arial font, and have a bus schedule that's readable, as well as the route maps as well need to be in large print. Otherwise, you're not going to get people with visual disabilities to move over to the fixed route system if they can't, you know, be taught. And also, you know, if you work with the Lighthouse for the Blind, they do training on how to use the buses as well. You know, I try to use the buses when I can from Century Village. The 91 route is a great route, and I hope they don't change anything in September. I heard they're talking about making some changes, and I hope they leave the 91 the way it is now. You're also talking about the recommendation about allowing paratransit on holidays. I think it's ludicrous that we don't have, you know, an ability to get to my mother's house on Thanksgiving for dinner, you know, or, you know, someplace else, a church or a synagogue, you know. Well, we can get to synagogue on Saturday, but, you know, those who use churches can't get there on a Sunday so easily if it's a holiday. Like, you know, I just think that needs, that is something which I really like that idea of doing that. I think those were my two major comments. I have a request also, since I'm new here, can you explain the initials you're using? Instead of, you know, the alphabet soup is great, but not all of us know the alphabet soup. So I appreciate that. Thank you.
So I will take that back to Roseanne. to our marketing, they should have accessible schedules, so I'll find out why you didn't receive that. So
one other comment on marketing. I run health fairs in Century Village, and I've been trying to get somebody from Palm Tran Connection to come down and be at our health fairs, and all I keep hearing for the last 3 years is we no longer do marketing outside of, you know, we don't do outside marketing anymore, which I think is ridiculous. If you want to get people to learn about Palm Tran Connection and how to use it properly, you need to get people out to our to health fairs throughout the community and other places to let them know about the service.
Yeah, I don't know who you called on that, but I go out, and our eligibility guy goes out. We go out all the time. So
well, I'll give me your sure card
we,
later.
I'll make sure we get in touch with you, and we'll have somebody come out.
Yeah, let me get your card later, please.
Sure,
no
problem.
Thank you.
Yep. So we could follow up on that on the schedules and mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I guess also is that can we get a glossary regarding all the different acronyms?
Sure. Yes, I will make sure I get that out to everyone, and my apologies if I said that.
Okay, thank you.
Maria? Okay. So I asked if you tilted, so if you wanted to speak as well. So am I getting your name, Mallory?
Millery,
okay.
I did the survey, both the writing survey and the calling. They were great. I enjoyed talking to the families, although they asked me to schedule the ride for them. And they really liked the service in the county, most of them. And my only problem is the AC is very loud in the bus. You cannot talk, you cannot hear anybody who is sitting next to you while you ride the bus. And it took 2 hours and a half for me to go to the VA to my office downtown on Sapodilla and back.
I appreciate it.
That's a long time. And I only had one passenger in the car, in the van with me going to the VA and waited 45 minutes for somebody to pick me up from the VA, went to VA to drop somebody and took me back to my office. These are my issues.
There. Yeah. And unfortunately, we don't normally schedule like that, so because you weren't really going anywhere. You were trying to observe. So I had to put you on a bus so that you could observe somebody, you getting picked up, then observe somebody getting picked up, and then put you back on the bus. So it's just I had to force you into the way it is, so I apologize for that. No. But we didn't charge any extra for the
No, you guys didn't
tour.
Charge me at all. And the drivers, they were great. You have great drivers. And I hear that from the call and the two drivers who picked me up and brought me back. They were very professional. It's just It's very, very, very loud with the AC running in the bus.
Okay. Okay. Cold.
Yeah, cold and loud. Okay. But I'll do it again next year.
All right.
Okay, thank you. Elsa?
Hi, good afternoon. Well, kudos, because I had the same positive effect. When I called our riders from our sample size, they loved your drivers. I didn't have one that said something negative about a driver. They all loved your drivers. So kudos to all of you for a great driver.
Thank you. Thank you.
Rick?
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Takesha Saffold. Sorry for my tardiness. The driver was trying to locate where I'm supposed to get dropped off at. In any event, I just wanted to comment, and also I have a question. Some of the clients who I have spoken with, they did give me a lot of positive feedback. One of them was the whole time when calling to make a reservation, and that you're able to hear how long you're going to be on the phone. A lot of clients really appreciate having that. And I know as for myself, since I am a client who utilized the service, I appreciate it as well because I've utilized other paratransits outside of our county, for example, New Jersey Transit, and you do not have that as an option and you're waiting forever. And I hope that we never switch over to that type of system that covers the whole state or even regions. So I really appreciate having just our service here in Palm Beach County. Also, I just wanted to comment on some of the other comments that were made in terms of the buses with the loud ACs. No offense to Maroonie, but those buses that Maroonie have extremely loud ACs. I don't even know how it's safe for drivers to hear what's going on. It's so loud because the ACs are right up front. And when they have them turned up high, yeah, you're cold and it's loud. So I just wanted to say that it's not all of the buses. It's definitely the Maroonie buses because I know the difference between MV, First Transit, and Maroonie. Also, the other comment in regards to the fixed route regarding some of the accommodations is that I utilize fixed route as well, and some of those drivers are not trained in terms of dealing with consumers who do utilize the fixed route. If you're trying to get off at a certain stop, because even in some buses, the announcers are not working, and other things, and some of the drivers just cannot comprehend or understand what that's like to be visually impaired, to use the fixed route, and for them to now understand how they should be able to accommodate someone. I'm not saying all drivers, but some of them are just not friendly in that way, and so to get more people to utilize the fixed route, I think that those drivers need to be provided more sensitivity training in that area. My question that I have, which is also a question that others have, is the signing of the manifest, which I somewhat understand the purpose of it. However, a lot of other paratransits are not really utilizing it. I feel that it's very antiquated, especially if drivers are not really asking. They're just automatically UTSing you because they assume that you're unable to sign because you're visually impaired. So if they're not asking, then what is the purpose of having that as just something else that they have to do? So that was my question. Thank you.
So right now, the signing of the manifest is a contractual requirement, and we get those manifests back, and we reconcile them with the billing, and that's how it's done. I know I've talked to you several times, Takesha, about signing and your ability to sign, and that every driver should be asking you to sign, not signing for you. And that's a big problem I have because you should be able to. So, you know, at least be asked. So if you're having a problem with that, please let me know, and we'll address it with the drivers.
I guess I can let you know, but it seems to be an issue that I would constantly be addressing. I always ask drivers, do they want me to sign? And they seem to act surprised about it. That's usually my kind of like my clue of letting them know that I'm able to sign. And they're still like, oh, you can sign. Like it's a, you know, and I try to explain to them that it's a form of discrimination. If they don't ask, it goes against our civil rights. However, some drivers are still not doing it. So.
Okay. Well, we have two of the GMs of 80% of our work sitting in this room. So I'm sure they can reiterate that point. And we'll make sure Marudi knows as well. But we can talk about it internally to see if it is antiquated and if we need it or not. But
no. Right. I'll take a look at it and address it, and then we'll have a mention of that at our next provider meeting.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Yes, good afternoon. My name is Clay Walker, and I'm with the Department of Children and Families, and my only remarks, unfortunately, are negative. I have some positive remarks in general about PomTran, which I can hold for the member comment section, but on the PomTran connection, I have a coworker who uses the service. She has no problems with the service, enjoys it, enjoys the drivers, but coincidentally, in a one-month period, and of course, once they found out that I'm on this board, of course, I was an extra ear to listen to her issues. And again, no problems with the service itself other than the fact that she utilizes the service to go to doctor's appointments. And in two cases in 1 month, while en route, picked up on time, plenty of time to get to where they were going, two separate occasions within that month, the bus was redispatched to other locations to pick up additional passengers and to deliver. And in both cases, she was an hour late for the appointment. The doctor would not see her at that time, which required rescheduling, a loss of all her time, a lot of depression on her part. And she had made complaints. She says, really, all you do is get a postcard back when you... and she dealt with... And this is a customer relations, customer service person for our agency who does this every day, all day. The phone never stopped ringing. And you think you have complaints. But, you know, the thing about it is you said that she actually has dealt with one of your customer service people, and I'll use the first name of Judy, who she said was just, I guess she ended up finally lecturing her on customer service because she just said her experience with that situation was not good. So I guess the two issues that she had was, one, is the redispatching while en route. I don't know if that's a constant thing, if it was just a coincidence that it happened to this one passenger in a one-month window, but it caused her problems on both occasions. And so well, that's just something, I don't know how the schedule is, maybe it was just bad days, but that was her complaint and concern and hope that...
Maybe you can give me the name after.
I have a name and her writer membership number that I can give you later.
We can look that up.
And just take a look, and you'd be glad to...
Sure.
I have some other comments, but I'll save those to the end that are about PomTran in general.
Well, something very positive. I happen to be up in Michigan and in a senior community, and they had, I'm not sure if it's the same thing as this implement fare boxes, but every one of the seniors either had a card or a cell phone. There was absolutely no money, although they could accept money. But they all came up with this thing, and they just went on, I don't know, the vehicle, and they just scanned something, right? But it was multiple. I mean, people had cards, credit cards, American Express, Visa. I was like standing there like, oh, my God, there's no money here, all right? And so I'm not sure, is that what this implement fare boxes, is that what it is for the
Yeah, I mean, either some sort of fare payment technology or PomTran connection. So PomTran, it's PomTran fixed route is going through a fare box interoperability study, and we also have we're in the process of replacing our fare box technology to smart cards, to some sort of smart cards. And so there was a RFP that was placed out, and we're interviewing and reviewing those proposals this week. And so some of it might include PomTran connection. Most is focused on the fixed route, but also solutions for that. So we're working at a way of coming up with some sort of solution, both for paratransit and fixed route, with the smart card implementation, some sort of fare technology payment system. So it's in the works.
Well, their issue was... what I found out was it was hard for them to take money out of their purses and all that kind of stuff. That was number one. So their mobility issue was there. The second one was theft. They didn't want to carry money, especially being at these different locations. And so those were the top two items. But they said according to the one driver I spoke to, he said that they increased their ridership very much because of that, just that factor, all right? And it was also scamming. You know, someone would charge $5 versus $2 or, you know, whatever, when the driver would hold on to money. That's all I have.
All right.
I would very briefly like to interject and say thank you so much to all of the LCB members that did help out with the CTC evaluation. We did have, I believe, 7 this year that helped out compared to the 4 that helped last year, and we were able to increase the surveys that we received from 50 to 95. So that definitely did help out a lot with this evaluation and will definitely help out, you know, better Palm Tran connection. So thank you, everyone.
Rick, did you have? I have a light that's lit on my. Okay, thank you. So my question regarding the school district is that, you know, when you're dealing with children, you know, being a minor, there's different liability issues involved. And so I guess, is our operators taking on that risk as well, and to have that special liability for a minor that is 17 years or younger to be on the bus alone?
So as paratransit, or yeah, as Palm Tran Connection, we follow the same rules as the fixed route. So the fixed route has a policy where anyone 8 and under need to be with a paying, bearing adult. Anyone above that can ride. So if someone's 9 years old or above, they can ride on Palm Tran or Palm Tran Connection alone.
So fourth grade. Fourth and fifth grade.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. I have a question.
Yeah.
Going back to the fare bus, I did the survey, and of course I got one complaint. One of the passengers, actually, she was complaining about the $3.50 that she got charged. Do you advise people when they apply of how much they're going to get charged? Because her confusion was like she thought she was going to get free ride. And apparently she said that from the beginning it was free, but after 3 rides, she got charged $3.50, which was kind of confusing for me because she said she received like an approval telling her he was free.
So for Palm Tran Connection, after every reservation, we tell them whether we confirm the trip, and then we tell them how much the fare will be. The only trips that do not have a fare are the Division of Senior Services trips to take people to meal sites. On that specific one that you sent me, she actually signed up for that, but also had ADA, the Americans with Disability Act. She did not want to travel at the time that the Division of Senior Services, we have an agreement at what time they're supposed to be going. So that trip was free if she wanted to go at the time that we agreed upon with the Division of Senior Services. Outside of that time, it becomes an ADA trip, Americans with Disability Act trip, which costs $350 each way. So she was promised something by somebody else, that all her trips would be free, when in fact it isn't. Because if you go to the Division of Senior Services meal site, it's free when you go at the agreed upon times that we have with the centers. If they want to go at a different time, they have to pay the $350. So yes, it is confirmed after each trip, so she would have known after.
I don't know where the misunderstanding is, because when I spoke to her, she said that she ended up changing her times because apparently Palm Tran was always late, and she has to go to work. So instead of her being late at work, she ended up changing her time. And when she changed it, they told her he was still going to be free.
Actually, there's that, and there's also somebody else was going to pay her fare for her. There is no free fare on Palm Tran Connection. That's what I mean. So whatever she thought, there's no free fare on Palm Tran Connection unless they're going to a meal site. So if they're going to work, they have to pay. If they're going to a meeting, they have to pay. If they're going anywhere else, there's a fee. See, so I don't know.
That's
I think
her
it was
mom,
just confusing.
And her mom is going to a daycare. That's what she
said. Ah, okay.
So that's what I'm trying, because she keep emailing me. I'm trying to understand what to tell her now.
Right, right. Well, you can refer them to me, okay, and I'll figure it all out.
All right.
Yep.
Any further questions? If not, may I have a motion to approve the report or the evaluation?
No.
Do I have a second?
A second.
All right. All those in favor state so by saying aye. Aye. All those opposed? The report is approved unanimously. Moving on to informational items, we have the Community Transportation Coordinator update.
Great, thank you. All right, so I'm Chad Hockman, Senior Manager from PalmTran, and oversight of PalmTran Connection. And I'm going to run through some of the things that we're working on in terms of a short-term strategic plan to improve service with PalmTran Connection. The first thing that we're looking at is a TNC task group to explore alternatives to relieve some stress of late night and peak time service. That could be with taxis or with a TNC company, but you know, as we're investigating this, we're looking at some alternate forms of service based upon some of the constraints that we have. We also are in the process of utilizing and drafting a plan to utilize the turnpikes. Our buses are not currently on the turnpikes, and so when we're traveling in the western half of the county, we have to come back to 95 and go up and down 95 versus able to access the turnpike. So we have been working through that. There's some obstacles in which we've had to go through to be able to do that, but we're getting close to having a resolution go to the BCC, the Board of County Commissioners, to approve allowing us to utilize the turnpike. And then we'll put transponders on the vehicles and we'll be able to track those vehicles up and down the turnpike. So we're working on that. Hopefully that'll come to fruition rather soon. The other thing is trip negotiation. And when we talk about trip negotiation, the FTA encourages transit agencies to negotiate trip times to improve efficiencies and to optimize the system itself. So negotiating these trip times entails the recognition that there's a desired pickup time that cannot always be accommodated. And when optimizing trips into one vehicle, sometimes we need to offer alternate travel times than what is requested. And because of the FTA, we're allowed to negotiate 1 hour before and 1 hour after the requested pickup time. And currently, we don't negotiate that as much as we should. There's a little bit of trip negotiation that goes on, but we currently don't negotiate the 1 hour forward or backwards in which the FTA allows us to do that. So we've got to work with our reservations, and it's also an educational process. It's not something that's just going to happen overnight. As we start to move forward and trying to develop some efficiencies with in terms of trip negotiation. The other thing that we're looking at is in-person eligibility assessments and inviting applications in to review their applications. We're currently doing, Miami-Dade is currently doing this now, but we have a large amount of new applications that come to us every month. We authorize around 400 new ADA applications per month. And we do not have what is called conditional eligibility. We blanketly, they are able to fill out their application, submit it to us, have their medical verification, and then we, you know, review it and approve it. There are other ways in which we should be looking and assessing these, and really, you know, it's kind of looking at how they travel and having conversations with all these applicants on how they're going to utilize the service and how they can travel within and where they're going. There might be an option to get them on fixed route Monday through Friday, but then we don't, that route doesn't operate in a timely manner on Saturdays or Sundays, in which they would be conditionally eligible for Saturday and Sunday service only. Or, you know, they can travel during when it's light out, but at dusk they're not able to see. So we're really looking at some of the efficiencies and in-person assessments and really trying to assess how everyone travels. Is it best to travel by PalmTran Connection? Is it fixed route? Is it an option? You know, what is the best way to travel throughout Palm Beach County? And currently we do not do that. It's just a blanket assessment, and then we're putting more and more burden onto the system. So that's one of the things that we're in the process of reviewing. We're also looking at fleet diversification and looking at possibly some smaller vehicles for some of those late evenings where we don't need the bigger vehicles, and some of these longer trips that we're doing, we're only getting about one or two people in those vehicles. So we're in the process of looking at fleet diversification and possibly ordering some sedans also to help offset that. And then better coordination with the Division of Senior Services and charter schools. We have our Division of Senior Services and the charter schools are traveling at our peak times, which cause us to slow down our on-time performance. And I don't know that we're going to have that there's a magic fix to this, but just we're looking at it, having the conversations with community services, having the conversations with the charter schools, and you know, develop a process, at least start a dialogue, because we weren't having that dialogue before, and it was really creating a hardship on Palm Tran Connection. And then before we implement any of this, or before we change any policies or any procedures or thing, is just developing a robust communication plan that we're going to reach out to all our stakeholders, the Board of County Commissioners, County Administration, our employees, and then ultimately the customers before something like this, before we implement any of these changes. And then, you know, this is a phase-in period. You know, as we look through this and as we're trying to strategize, this is not something that we're going to be able to do overnight. It's something that, you know, in the next three, short-term, long-term, 3, 6, 9 months, 1 year, how do we get there and how are we going to achieve that? So these are the things that we're working on in terms of Palm Tran Connection to help with some of the efficiencies and to recognize some of the passenger or some of the constraints that we have currently. So with that, I'm going to move on to our accommodations and complaints and our overview, and Lou's going to take that.
Okay. So just to follow up with what Chad was saying about the reason why we're looking at some of these short-term strategic solutions, for those of you that haven't been at previous meetings, we've also brought slides of those peak times, our on-time performance. Our on-time performance is actually going up a little bit now, which is good. However, during the peak times, the morning peak time of like 7:30 to 9 and the afternoon time of about 2 to 5, that afternoon time of 2 to 5, we do close to 500 to 600 trips, but really the capacity is at about 400. Okay, in that 2 to 2.5 hour period, we do more trips than Tampa in a whole day. So we really have a problem in those peaks. So we're trying to do some of these things we talked about to try and alleviate some of the peak times, also negotiate those trip negotiations, things like that. So that's where we've kind of gotten to this point. So just to give you a little background of that. So we were asked to bring some of the customer service commendations and complaints, an overview to the board. So these are the way that I did it was I utilized the reports that we have now, and then if you have any comments about the way it's reported, we can always go back and change it up. So we alluded to something called the PT Stat Team, which is Palm Tran's stat team. So Palm Tran has initiative unto itself with 9 different teams: a customer service team, a safety team, a finance team. There's on-time performance for fixed route, on-time performance for paratransit, for Palm Tran Connection. So all of these teams look at specific things that are happening with Palm Tran, and we analyze the data. And one of them is the customer service. So this is a dashboard that we use for the customer service PT stat team. Every month we meet with the executive leadership of Palm Tran, and the actual team presents their findings to the executive leadership team. Okay, so this is our accommodations and complaint overview. This right here you're looking at are the commendations. So I don't know if it's easier to see in front of you or on there. So green is good, yellow means we're doing okay, and red is bad. So on there you can see the commendations have been very good. So we're pleased to report that the month of April, this metric has achieved its established stretch goal, which is the goal is 1.3 customer commendations per 1,000 trips. So you can see April was 2.1. Okay, so Connection received 152 commendations compared to 117 during the month of March. Customer commendations during the month of April recognized a higher level of customer service, which is mentioned during this meeting, by drivers, reservationists, dispatch, eligibility staff, scheduling, and 8 overall for Palm Tran Connection staff. So the quality customer service initiative that Chad had alluded to, which promotes the importance of a cordial greeting for Palm Tran Connection rider in person, on the phone, it was implemented in January, and you can see how it's improved. So this is the commendation report. And then the next one is the complaint report. So customer concerns per 1,000 trips, as you can see, is in the red. So the reason why I described why we were looking at short-term initiatives is because of the capacity issues we have. There's a lot of late trips. There's a lot of complaints as compared to where we want to be. So during the month of April, there were 252 concerns filed compared to 265 concerns in March. That is a decrease of 13 customer concerns, which is large part related to the on-time performance improvement in that month. The top categories during the month of April were focused on late drop-off, late pickup, and scheduling. which could be the reason why someone was on a vehicle and then scheduled another pickup was on there. So we are coordinating a series of internal training topics to try and address some of the dispatch and scheduling concerns as reported by the customers. Now, that, those are the two dashboards, and then we went a little further and dug a little deeper to show you actually what's happening. So those concerns are just concerns. That means anyone that calls with a concern, we're not validating them. Those are just concerns. These here, you'll see the concerns plus valid concerns, non-valid. Now, we alluded to the fact that before that, that we have a customer service department that we research every complaint that comes in, every concern, everything that comes in. Our providers also research them. We pull video. We listen to phone calls. So as you can see in April, you can see for commendations on the top row, MV had 39, First Transit had 41, and Marudi had 27. And as you can see dispatch had 13, the reservation department had 21, so there was 147. There was some lost and found. But then as you go, you can actually see, and it actually even breaks it down with provider as well, that there's discourteous, unsafe, reckless driving, any damage of property, a driver error, vehicle no-show, driver. So you could see that that there was driver error, late drop-off had 19 for dispatch. It's this breaks it up a little bit more. I don't know if you want me to go through every line on it or if you guys want to look at it a little bit and absorb it a little bit, but this actually shows, cause hopefully you got, they got this before, right?
Yeah,
it was in the backup. It was in the backup pound. So I don't want to go through every little statistic, but this shows you how many complaints came in, how many we deemed valid, non-valid, do the investigation. So it shows really what happened in April. So anybody has any questions, we can go through that.
Yes, I have one or two questions. Is this report just for the paratransit or does this include fixed route?
This is just paratransit.
Paratransit. Mm-hmm. And my second question is regarding the website when you're trying to book online trips. I'm assuming that there may be a couple of glitches, but kudos to it being accessible for screen readers. I guess I had a member, which Mr. Ferry may be already, Nicole Sheehan Fitchum. I don't know if I'm saying her last name wrong. She tried to book a trip online and it kicked it out. So I don't know what happened with that, but I'm just trying to see if the system has been looked into as far as glitches. So something like that won't happen.
Yes, actually I worked with Nicole on that trip and she actually didn't accept the trip. So she never confirmed it. So I worked through it with her and those glitches are being looked at and really it's a user error. But we are looking at it constantly every week. We're trying to do that, which we're hopefully going to roll out the password to everyone very soon. So,
okay. Thank you.
Yes. Mr. Goodman.
In terms of dispatch errors, this morning I had a doctor's appointment and the dispatcher gave the wrong address, 1501 instead of 1601. And I find very often that even though they confirm the address back to me, maybe they do it so fast I don't catch an error like that. But very often I find a lot of the dispatchers, their ability of, in terms of English is could be better. I don't want that to sound bad, but reality is reality. And I think looking at some of the dispatchers and helping them, you know, with their understanding, I'm not sure how to do that, but, you know, improve that in some way.
Okay. Yep. We'll look at that.
Any further comments from the board? All right. Ready to move on?
Okay. Thank you.
All right. I guess we're moving on to the LCB member presentation. Rick Gonzalez will present his agency and how do day-to-day duties relate to transportation disadvantaged local.
Do I say Bing? Or are you going to give me a little?
Oh, that's cool.
Thank you. All right. I'm honored to be the first of the board members that's going to give a presentation such as this, discussing how what we do works into the day-to-day duties as they relate to the TDLCB. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about myself. I'm going to tell you a little bit about my company. And then I'll tell you how it all ties together with our final organization. So first transit, oh, by the way, I slapped this together just before I left on a business trip, so it's going to be chock full of grammar errors and misspellings, so I apologize in advance for that. So first transit, my fine company, our motto is, if we can't do it safely, we won't do it at all. My company started back in the 80s in Scotland, England, when they were privatizing the trains, and a group of mechanics got together and they bought a line. They became First Group, and that motto developed because one day there was a horrific accident, and over 10 people were killed, and the CEO said, that's it, because he was really shaken by the incident, and he said, if we can't do it safely, we just won't do it, and that has been our motto. It's part of our safety culture, so let's see if I could do this right. So First Group is out of Edinburgh, Scotland. And we have a European division, we have an Asian division, and we have a First Group America. So if right here in the United States, that encompasses Canada, Mexico, Puerto Rico, and the United States and the Virgin Islands. So we are First Transit, which is the organization I belong to. There is First Student, which is private busing for school districts. I apologize. We do the busing for school districts. First Vehicle, which no one's ever heard of. We do the maintenance for fleets for municipalities and runner centers. We do the Hertz Rent-A-Car fleet. We maintain that. The Fort Lauderdale Police Department, we maintain their vehicles. And the Indian River County, we have a new contract with them. And then there is Greyhound. Everybody's heard of Greyhound. No one's heard of us. But if you know Greyhound, they are part of the First Group family. So, Richard Gonzalez, hey, what about him? Well, Richard Gonzalez, I have been 5 years now with First Transit. I'm very proud of it. I got my five-year badge. Before that, I was 10 years at Palmtran, Inc., and I was what was called a service coordinator. I'm very proud of my service there. I started when the paratransit program, I used to call it the Wild Wild West, and it was run by many different smaller companies that they really put their heart and soul into it. But as the expectations for service grew, they were not able to keep up, and they had to go out to companies that maybe had larger resources, find companies. One of the first people on this contract was one of the first companies on this program when they began to, I hate to use the word professionalize it, but as it evolved, was MV. And that's how I met Ms. Jeannie Crispin, who's one of my mentors, and I was with the county at that time when she started on this program. So before 10 years at Pepsi-Cola, I was 10 years, Richard, before the 10 years at Palmtran, I was 10 years at Pepsi-Cola where I started off as a driver. I was a horrible driver from there, so they quickly got me out from behind that truck, and I was a salesman. And I ended my career there in risk management with a gentleman named Van Campbell, who was the HR and safety manager for Pepsi-Cola of the Palm Beaches, who is now my HR manager at my location here. So what I do, let's talk about what do I do. Well, heck, so what do I do? Well, this is what my client thinks I do. There I am right there, just counting from the latest invoice. This is what my employees think I do. There we are. I have socks like that, actually. This is what my mother thinks I do. And this is what I think I do. But in actuality, that's just me buried under a bunch of work, barely getting by. So what do I really do? No one laughed at that at all. That went down flat, but that's okay. what do I really do? The buck stops here with me. That is what I do. I'm held accountable. That is my job with First Transit. Operations, my job is to get the vans out on time. Make sure that the bid is run. Make sure the drivers and the union are happy. HR, it's my responsibility for recruiting these drivers, controlling the turnover, make sure drivers know that they are that they're necessary and vital, and my most important employees. And I talked about how my driver of the month gets to have lunch with me, and I got to tell you, as I walk through the building, every time I see a driver, I stop, I shake his hand, and I thank him for coming in today. Period. I do. Every single driver. No, I don't care how many drivers are there in a row. I will stop and do that because our business is putting buses on the street. Our business, and that's it. That's our job, to put the service on the street. And that's what the drivers do. And they're our most important employee. And God bless them. They're in there. They're working it. They're doing it. Man, they deserve my thanks. And if a driver goes to any other of the offices, whether it be the HR office, the finance office, if he has a question about payroll, the operations manager, maintenance office, if he has a trial, everybody stops what they're doing to help that guy, period. If I ever hear a driver say, he's told me to sit down and wait, then I'm going to have a conversation with that leader. Okay, the drivers are my most important employees, period. And then from there, maintenance, make sure the PMs are done, road calls are done, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. If something goes wrong at First Transit, that's my responsibility, period. The buck stops with me. Everything that wrong that happened, I'm responsible for, period. Everything that right that happened, well, if we had payroll went out on time and invoicing was done correctly, well, that's my maintenance manager, John Coons, and that's my payroll clerk, Mr. Fadson. Period. They did that. They did that. If my breakdowns are minimized, if the preventive maintenance is being done properly and on time, if the maintenance overtime is being held to a decent level, well, you know what? That's my maintenance manager, Mr. Dave Knott, and that's Mr. Carlos Vergara. And I thank them every time that happens. Sharon Alexander, man, she just had accommodation two days ago, that driver right there. Every time that route goes out and there's no problems and no issues with it, that's all Sharon. I haven't driven a route yet. Every time there's a successful route, and the vast majority of our routes are successful that day, that is because of that driver, that individual driver. When everything goes right on the route, that's because of the driver, period. Thanks. So that's basically what my company's about and what I do. So how do we fit into the TD LCB? Well, the TD program is Transportation Disadvantage Program. We work with our client, Palmtran. You know, I made a joke about my client earlier. My client is Palmtran, and Palmtran is my only client. Now, within Palm Beach County, First Transit does Kings Point, and one of my former clients is over there at Boca Raton Century Village. But Terry McDivitt, who's a fantastic lady, and she's a mentor of mine, she runs the Kings Point project. We do the Delray Trolley, and that is run by Mr. Jimmy Weatherspoon, who used to be a city commissioner there, and he runs that project along with the car service that we do for Delray Students First, and also the charter service that we have with the fair and some of the other smaller organizations. And like I said before, at the airport, there's Hertz Rent-A-Car. First Transit has a big presence, and once again, no one's ever heard of us, but First Transit has a large presence here in Palm Beach County. But Palmtran is my only client, Richard Gonzalez's only client. Let's talk about that a little bit. Palmtran, the paratransit service, there we go. First Transit performs 40% of that contract. Year after year, and we've been 3 years now going into our fourth year, First Transit has had the highest number of accommodations, something I'm very proud of. Once again, I always check those accommodations. None of them are for Rick Gonzalez, all for drivers. Every single accommodation is for about a driver. And also, First Transit, we're leaders in outreach and giving back to the community. Part of my grade I get with First Transit is how much outreach I do. So saying that, I am a member of the board for the Center for Independent Living Options. With the TPA, I'm a member of the Citizens Advisory Committee. And I am a dues-paying member of Federation for the Blind, but she's going to remind me that I'm behind on my dues. So I got to pay up on my dues. And then every year I'm out there during White Cane Day. And the White Cane Day is when the Federation of the Blind gets together and they try to commit suicide, collective suicide, by walking back and forth on a road. So we try to be out there when they do that to be with them. And that's always an adventure. It's always fun. And it always helps out. But I gotta get the next day. And also every year I go to Transportation, the TD Day in Tallahassee. And that's the outreach I do. And I'm gonna be blunt. I always get accused of being a cheerleader for this program. First Transit, we do half the Broward program. In Broward County, and I have good friends and colleagues that run the Miami-Dade paratransit program. Have no doubt, and I, mind you, I've done startups in Baltimore, Cobb County. I've seen many different programs. Palm Beach County, whose motto is the best of everything, has the best paratransit program in South Florida and in any other place I've witnessed. This is, I mean, the effort and the work that goes to putting those people out on the road and providing that service every day, from our partners, Palmtran Connection, to my other partners, like good people like MV, it's monumental. And I'm very proud of what we do here. And I guess if you, and thank you. And thank you for listening to my drawn out presentation. Thank you.
Yeah.
Oh, thank
you. Yeah. Does anyone have any questions for Rick?
Thank you so much for presenting and being the first board member presentation. We're looking forward to hearing from other board members on what they do and how what their careers are, your careers are, relates to what we do here.
My only advice, don't try to start off with a joke. Don't, that doesn't work. All right, thanks.
All right. Moving on to staff update. TPA staff will provide an update.
For our staff update, we're going to briefly go over the new US-1 multimodal corridor study update. The LCB fiscal year 18 timeline and overview, the LCB fiscal year 19 timeline overview, and we're going to try to get some more members to present on their jobs.
Thanks, Alyssa. So we just wanted to come back. I know we've been mentioning this US-1 multimodal corridor study that the Palm Beach Transportation Planning Agency has been working on over a year now. So we just wrapped up the study. We're really excited about it. This was a study looking at how to improve walking, biking, transit along US-1 from Boca Raton and Camino Real to Indian Town Road and Jupiter, so 42 miles across 14 communities. We did 6 months of public outreach, and we presented it to our TPA board earlier this month, and it was approved. So the other thing that was really exciting about this study is that we did our first health impact assessment. I know some of you participated in that steering committee. Thank you. So we involved the health community, our Department of Health, the hospitals along the corridor, different nonprofits to get their input and also share data with them. So, for example, we weren't aware that there was a countywide study on access to healthy foods and how improving ADA sidewalks and different access to transit and to healthy foods, you know, how it all impact this. So that was really great, and we hope to do more health impact assessments moving forward on other corridor studies. We also looked at how do we improve transit along the corridor, and the health impact assessment helped inform that. So currently, Route 1 serves this corridor, and it's the highest transit ridership route for PalmTran, but there's also a limited stop service called the BALT. So we looked at kind of how could we upgrade that with branding, where would those limited stop stations make the most sense, benefit the greatest amount of people. And so those recommendations are in this finding, and we're going to work with PalmTran on next steps to see how we can make that a reality in the future, that improved, upgraded express service. We also will be working with Department of Transportation, because US-1 is a Department of Transportation road, and the various communities along the corridor to implement these improvements, safety improvements that we found to help all modes of transportation travel more safely and efficiently along the corridor. So this study is available on our website at palmbeachtpa.org/US-1, and also on the project website, which was the US-1 PB Corridor Study.com. But we just wanted to bring this back and let you know that the study is done, and we look forward to working with everyone to move forward and implement some of these safety and multimodal recommendations that we identified.
So now we're going to go over the fiscal year 18 timeline, which is actually coming to an end. This is our fourth quarter meeting. So right now, if you could see on your timeline or on the timeline on the screen, if not, it's also provided in the backup. But we are all the way at the end for today's May 30th quarter four meeting. The CTC evaluation is also concluded today. Fiscal year 19, we have our next meeting, August 29th here. At that meeting, we're going to review and approve new bylaws, grievance procedures, AOR and AER, which are the annual operating report, and first quarter LCB meeting. And then we go into the CTD annual workshop, which we will be attending. And then for our second quarter meeting in November, we have a TDSP minor update, which is Transportation Disadvantaged Service Plan, and we have our second quarter LCB meeting. Then our third quarter meeting, we will be going over our LCB member training, which the new members should have received. I should have emailed it to you. If not, let me know and I will send it to you again. And the members who have attended meetings, we did go over this in the February meeting. We will have our annual public hearing, and the CTC evaluation will begin for next year. And then our quarter four meeting for fiscal year 19 will be May 29th, 2019, which is very scary. That's so kind of soon. So we are still requesting LCB member presentations. Everyone is welcome to do one. It could be 5 to 10 minutes at a future meeting. If you are interested in doing it, please reach out to me directly, and we will schedule it to be on the agenda. Lastly, we are looking to fill a couple LCB member vacancies. If anyone knows anyone who would be interested in filling them, we're looking for a representative for the elderly. They should be 65 years or older per our guidelines. A Florida Department of Veterans Affairs representative. They need to have either been a veteran or be working with Veterans Affairs, and Florida Department of Education or Division of Vocational Rehab. Does anyone have any questions?
Takesha? Yes, I just have a question regarding the LCB presentations. Do they have to be done by PowerPoint, or what is the criteria?
PowerPoint would be, we would prefer it only so we could include it as a backup and we can show it to everyone on the screen. But if you have another way that you would like to present, that's welcome too.
I wouldn't mind doing an LCB presentation. I'm a little leery about the PowerPoint only because I would need to utilize it by a screen reader. I mean, I could do handouts
as
a visual. So if that's the case, I wouldn't mind volunteering for our next meeting to do a presentation.
Yes, that would be great. I can reach out to you.
What are the other I'm just trying to make sure that I know what I'm getting myself into. What are the other criteria regarding that? It's just me discussing what I do. Yeah. Okay.
And how it relates to what we do here at the LCB meetings and what we discuss.
Great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Moving on to administrative items. Any member comments? Clay?
Excuse me, Mr. Chair. Just real quick, if I may.
Yep.
I just got reminded by our county attorney just to remind the board that if we have any comments about any other riders, Pontchartrain Connection riders or anything like that, please don't bring any specifics of where they've been, their names, anything like that. Just speak generically if you could, and we can talk about it after the meeting if that's possible.
So anonymity for people that ride the Pontchartrain Connection, correct?
In reference to this board and the meeting, yes.
Please. Okay. Thank you. This is public record, so yes.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to comment on Pontchartrain in general. Representing the Department of Children and Families, we're directed by the federal government to implement their disaster food stamp, Food for Florida, whatever name we want to call it. And last year, when we had Hurricane Irma and the governor declared 48 of our counties for individual assistance, which was the largest activation of that program in the history of this country, we definitely were tasked with something that we were really not as prepared for. Our plans we had done 10 years earlier when we had those string of hurricanes in 04, 05. We had plans in place. We had not really updated them, but we were dealing with 4 to 5 counties statewide. And so we were tasked with quite an undertaking. And I was given a set of dates in Palm Beach County, not to my choosing, that I would activate 3 of our county parks, one located in Delray, one in Lake Worth, suburban, and one in Belgrade. And at that point in time, with my background here in the county, we reached out to our department, County Department of Emergency Management, who worked with me to bring together a team of people from the Sheriff's Office, Parks and Recreation, and to Pontchartrain. And there was a gentleman, I pronounced his last name, Charles Boetcher, was a representative for that group at those meetings. And let me tell you, Pontchartrain came through in high color. I mean, it was unbelievable at all 3 sites. Not only did they move transportation of over 500 employees for one of our off-site parking areas that we had to have, to the fact that they were at every site with not helping us move hundreds, if not thousands, of the over 100,000 people that we served in that 5-day window in the county, moving them within the parks themselves, those that had special needs, some of our elderly, and just others that were, you could tell, had been waiting and walking a long time. They picked them up and helped move them along. And I am telling you, There was nothing that we asked of them that they didn't do. I commend them tremendously, the leadership. The drivers on scene were patient and ready to work and were there. And it was a great effort to see our county come together, but Comtran was a big part of that. We are in a process now of rebuilding literally our entire setup for Palm Beach County. I'm working on what I would say one large mega site. I'm hoping that's what we'll be allowed to get by with our fairgrounds, and who's to say that Comtran might not be involved in the future. But again, they came when we needed, and they were excellent. So, and I'm telling you, when that kind of conversations came up to our county to the north and south of us, they in no way had that type of cooperation and or assistance from their public transportation entity. So it was really a shining light. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Just briefly wanted to welcome all the new members on board, to the board. Last meeting was my first meeting. I was the new guy. And I'd like to say I had pointed out for that for 10 years I was with Palmtran Connection, and I sat over there. And I hope we all realize the importance of this board and our mission and how important we are to the transportation coordinated system that Florida, the FDOT, and the TD Commission finds is really trying to develop here. And I also was given a notice that all the acronyms we have are going to be given a quiz on it next meeting. So CTC, ADA, TD, you got to know them all by next meeting. So good luck.
Thank you. Yes, Mr. Goodman.
As a new member, I'd like to request two things. As one who cannot see, well, if people could introduce themselves, I don't know who's at the table. It would be nice to know if we could go around and have everybody say who they are and where they're from. But if we can get a list also of the members, that would be helpful too, please.
Okay. We can do that for next meeting. And yes, David.
Well, being a veteran over at EOC, every time there's an activation, you guys come through. So, everything from Francis and Jean to now, I've been there. I've seen what you guys have done, and so I really appreciate it. And I know just by monitoring some of the status boards over there, I don't know how you guys do it at times. I throw my hands up in the air. But another little comment. This brochure about the transportation needs members, I'm assuming Melissa did this or you did this, Melissa? I mean, I need one of these for my committee, all right? So I'm going to subcontract you to do this. I really like it. It's right to the point. It's exactly what we need. And this is something I can bring and distribute to others. It's very, very nice, very good.
Thank you.
Marie. Hi. I would like to give kudos to the TPA for providing an accurate list this year, because last year I went through the survey and it was a pleasant to call people to realize that the number is not working, or some of them are in some other state even. So thank you for providing an accurate list this year. And second, I want to thank the CTC this year for working with FDOT. I was pleased to see SHAD approving two of my 5310 agency. Although we're not where we would like to be yet, we would like to see a CTC agreement. But on behalf of FDOT, I want to say thank you. It's a big step. Thank you so much for approving them.
You're welcome. And just one comment on those requests that come in. There were requests for 5310 vehicles that came to the CTC, and we don't do coordinated agreements with these agencies. And that's a bigger conversation. But I did reach out to the ones, and there were a lot of requests that came in for us. And just to research those agencies and go out and meet with the people requesting vehicles to ensure that there was some sort of coordination and that there was going to be some sort of partnership with Palmtran and with the larger transportation network as we continue to build that. So I'll throw a letter of support when I feel that is something that's going to be an equal partnership for us and for the county. So absolutely, we'll continue to do that as I get more into my tenure with Palm Beach County. This I've come in up on 2 years, so it's a learning process. So thank you.
Seeing no one else from the board, may I have a motion to adjourn? Or our next meeting is August 29th.
Remove. Second.
All right. All those in favor? Meeting is adjourned.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah. You know, I'm chairman of the city, the CRA, the general employees.
Follow up on the.
Yeah.
I got come to our Century Village Health Fair. Since your name is familiar, that's what I was wondering.
Oh, yeah. You know, I think it was a shock to everybody who had to stand up to do the Pledge of Allegiance.
What's your phone number so I can follow up?